Some of you are probably wondering why there's things around the church. Sometime I got asked, why is there a vacuum there? I put a note on it because if I don't do that, it gets taken away, and then I have to go find it again. So anyways, it'll make more sense in a little bit. I walked around the church property knowing I had this message this week, and I found this. Laying around the church property, what is this? It's a branch. Do you think this branch is ever going to have leaves again? No. There's some different types of trees on the property. Some of them I think are walnut trees. Do you think this is, if this is a walnut, I don't know. Does anybody know what this, do you need to look closer to know what it is? We'll just call this one of the walnut ones then. Do you think it would ever produce walnuts again? No, probably not. Why not? Because it's separated. It's dead. That's the illustration Jesus is going to give us this morning in our text. Jesus is one of the best illustrators, one of the best uses of parables. John chapter 15 is where we'll be turning this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn there. John chapter 15. We'll be starting in verse 1. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may be more, we may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am, looking at the I am statements, I am the vine. The first point is believers are connected to Christ. If you've got your notes there today, you're probably looking at them and going, wow, there's a lot of stuff already on my notes today. And then you flip over to the back and you're like, wow, there's even more stuff on my notes today. There's a lot in this sermon. Jesus says so much here in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. And there are times when I say, okay, people can't write that fast. So I'll try to give them what I can. And that was what happened this morning. Believers are connected to Christ. Jesus gives us this picture that he is the true vine. The nation of Israel had this imagery of a vine that kind of swept through the Old Testament. The problem was that many of the prophets and even God referred to the nation as the vine, but the problem was they hadn't done their job. They hadn't been his vine, and so Jesus came and actually replaced the nation of Israel. He did not do away with the nation of Israel. I think the nation of Israel still has things to come that he has planned for them, but the nation of Israel were to be his ambassadors that shone the light into the world, and instead of being his ambassadors, they became like the rest of the world, and they would worship the gods of the nations around them. And so Jesus came and he said, I am going to be the true vine. The true vine through which these branches can be fed and can come to a relationship with the Father. Who is the Father? The Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser is the one who comes in and prunes. There are branches like this one that are dead. And just need to be cut off. There are other branches that maybe aren't bearing fruit right, or the branch isn't, it's actually causing a stress on something else, and so that'll be pruned off. Or maybe the fruit is bad on this branch, and so it says the vine dresser will prune that off as well. The vine dresser prunes the branch, and you think, you get that image in your head of pruning, and where is the vine dresser when he's there pruning the branches? He's right next to them, and so you have to have this imagery in your mind that Jesus is the true vine through which the source of all life flows, and then there's the Father right there pruning the vine. It says the disciples are the branch, the people are the branches through which we receive our nourishment from Jesus. There are several things in these verses that talk about what our connection to Christ means. The first is fruit. The first is fruit. What does this fruit look like? And I put those on your paper there. There are different types of fruit. So often we think of fruit as, well, somebody that just needs to be saved. A new believer, that is fruit. But that is not the only fruit that the Bible talks about. James talks about, show me your faith and I'll show you what I do with mine. I'll show you my works. What I do, that's one of the fruits, are the things we do for Christ, James 2:17. And I'm not going to look at each of these scriptures just because it would take too long. I gave you the references there on your sheets as well. And if you'd like to do further, look further into those, they're there for you to look at. Works, the second one is Christ-likeness. The fruit of the Spirit is Galatians 5:22. And then he lists all of the fruits of the Spirit there and how we are to look like Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, another fruit in the Bible. Hebrews 13:15 talks about acknowledging Christ's name publicly. The fruit of that would not just be fruitless, but would be fruit, would have fruit. Hebrews 13:15. There's also Philippians 4, which talks about giving to those in need. Then the one I first talked about that our minds often go to are new believers, and that's in John chapter 4. 1 John 2 talks about Christian conduct, how we act, what we do. And finally, Hebrews 12, and we'll look at this one in a little bit. Hebrews 12 verse 11 talks about that righteousness is our fruit. There are lots of things that are fruit that are part of how we're connected to Christ. The fact that we are connected, there should be some fruits in our lives that show our connection to Him. The other way that our connection to Christ means is that there's going to be some pruning. I said that the Father was closest when he's doing his pruning. Sometimes in life there's going to be things that he's going to decide, God is going to decide, I need to take that out of their life because it's becoming a distraction. It's causing them not to have fruit, or it's causing them to have bad fruit. And so the Father prunes us so that we can be more fruitful for him. The word means to cleanse or to purge or to purify. God does this so that we can have better fruit in order to serve Him. It might be great when we look at other people and go, oh, well, God's pruning them right now. But then when God gets to us, it's like, ouch. Ouch. That hurts. I don't want that. You can't take that away from me, God. I want to keep that. But God says, no. I do these things so that you will bear more fruit. Maybe God says, I'm going to take something out of your life, whether it's technology or money, a relationship or an addiction because you're not being fruitful to me in that area. You're not honoring me in that area, and so I'm going to pull that out of your life, and it's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. Hebrews 12, I told you we'd look at this verse in a second. Hebrews 12 says this, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." Listen, verse 11. "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Let me read it again, verse 11. "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Sometimes God chooses through discipline to prune our lives in such a way that leads to, what does the verse say there? Righteousness. He chooses to do things in our lives that lead towards us becoming more righteous, more holy, more like him. Connection to Christ means there's fruit, means there's pruning, means there's purity. Verse 3 of chapter 15, Jesus makes this statement, "Already you are clean because the word that I have spoken to you." Jesus, when he was in the upper room with the disciples, had said that because you are following me, because you believe in what I say, that they are clean. And so the purity there, but there was one among their midst that wasn't, and we'll talk about that more in just a minute as well. Jesus had spoken the word to them, and they had believed that word, bringing purity. Connection to Christ means you're abiding in Christ, and abiding in his word, and abiding in his love. I counted it in my Bible, the word abide is there 11 times. Do you think this passage is about abiding? Jesus says, "I am the vine. I am the true vine." And then 11 times he talks about abiding. If you abide in me, if you don't abide in me, if I abide in you, abide in my love. If we abide in Christ, his word and his love, verse 5, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you're going to look a lot like this. Apart from me, you're going to be dead. For the wages of sin is death. Because apart from Jesus, that's where we all are, is dead in our sin. Abiding in Christ will bring answered prayer. Abiding in Christ means you'll keep his commandments. Abiding in Christ means that you will be in his love. And I tried to think of examples this week. The first example I thought of was your home. Each of us has different homes. We don't all live in the same home, but you know your home. When you go in your home, there's certain sounds that your home probably makes or certain smells you walk in. And if those aren't there, you know something's off. You know something's wrong. And I don't know if you've ever stayed in somebody else's house, like spent the night there, but you sleep, and what happens? You hear these noises. You're awakened in the middle of the night, and you're like, what was that? If you were to ask the owners, the people who live there, they'd be like, oh yeah, that's just the water. It's just the water pump going on and off. No big deal. That's the hot water heater. It makes that noise. I don't know why. That's the heater. Yeah, it kind of creaks sometimes, but that's the noise it makes. You're used to the sounds. You abide in your home. If I were to blindfold you and put you in your home, you would probably be able to find your way around from memory. Our minds are a wonderful thing. You would stumble and you would probably hit your toe a couple of times and, you know, whatever it is you do when you hit your toe, you would do that. But if I were to place you in somebody else's home and blindfold you, no, you abide in your home. You know your home well. You know the sounds. You know the smells. You know where things are at. That's what it's like to abide in Christ. You know him. You know when he speaks to you that it's his voice. You know when you hear things from him, you know that it's his commands because they're from Christ. They're familiar to you. You abide in Christ. The second thing I thought of this as I was thinking about this is a canoe. And this one you have to do a little bit more thinking because your house you abide in is just kind of normal stuff. Not all of us go canoeing. I took a group of junior high students canoeing once, and they were playing like ping pong back and forth in the river. Like they couldn't stay in the center. It was like, oh, we're going this way. Oh, we're going that way. Oh, we're going this way. It, for like a two-hour trip, it took us like 6 hours because they just couldn't stay in the center of that river. It was just like back and forth and back and forth. Oh, we tipped over. Oh, back and forth. Oh, we tipped over again. And as a leader, I kept having to get out and flip the canoe back over for them and get them back in the canoe and get them going. It was the longest day of my life, I think. But canoeing down a river, this looks like a pretty peaceful scene. If you imagine the river is Jesus, you're abiding in Jesus, that in the middle of this river, you're sitting there in the canoe and you maybe don't know all of the curves and stuff, but you have the Holy Spirit that's helping direct you. He's saying, watch out up there. There's a little bit of a curve. We need to make sure that we're going the right way. What's the problem? Sometimes we don't listen to the Holy Spirit and we just, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do this. And so then we end up going off to the side. It's just going to be easier if I don't follow the way. If I don't follow the path, if I don't follow the narrow path the Bible talks about, it'd be just easier for me to get off this river and just go through the woods. We have a lot of people out there that are just deciding this Christianity thing, it might be right for my parents, but it's not right for me. While they know who Jesus is and what he has done, they reject him. But those in the canoe going through down the river, the Holy Spirit's guiding them, they're able to abide in Jesus. You are so in line with him that you know when the river is going to curve a little bit. The Holy Spirit's helping guide you, but you stay in the middle of that river. And so take both of those together, both of those analogies, and you're abiding in Christ. When you hear his voice, when you see the change coming up, you know that that is him. When you hear his commandments, no longer is it, all right, got to add that to the list. This is commandment number 11. Then you write it on. It's not that, oh man, now I have a list of commandments I have to keep. It's, I am abiding in Christ, and so I'm keeping these commandments because I am part of the vine. I am a branch that receives my nutrients from the vine. Connection to Christ also means joy. When you desire his desire, when you learn that that river is going in this direction and you start to see, this is what God is, why God is having me go this way. This is why God is having me do this, that it's no longer about me, but it's about him. When that starts becoming your philosophy, then you're going to find joy in circumstances because you're going to understand that it's not about me. It's about him, and he's going to get glory through this, even though maybe it's not going to be feel happy to me necessarily. But then there's this warning that we're given. Disconnection means being taken away from the vine and being thrown away into a fire and burned. He says, once it's cut off, what's it good for? When they would prune the vines in Israel, they would prune them, and then they would literally take them, and that would be the fuel for when they were going to bake bread. Just throw them into the fire and burn them. And so Jesus is giving this picture that once this is dead, once this is cut off, it's not good for anything anymore, only to be burned in a fire. Our whole role here is not to cause fruit to happen. If I'm this branch and I come out here and I'm dead, I'm like, I need some fruit to happen. At least give me a leaf or something. Come on. Maybe if I shake it out, maybe a leaf will come. No, it's not going to come. Why? Because it's not connected. It's not abiding. It's not a part of the vine. We just have to stay connected. Our role is to abide. Our role is to abide. But the problem is Satan wants to distract us. Satan wants to show us other things. And he says, look at what your neighbors have. Oh, man, they have a nice pool. You should get yourself a pool. Oh, they just got a new car. Maybe you need a new car. Oh, they have the newest smartphone. They have the new iPhone. You should get that now. And so Satan wants to distract us with all of these things and cause us to lose our focus and not look at Christ anymore. And now our goals become not being connected to Christ, but making our life easier, making our family look better, and that's not the purpose. There's a dramatic difference from those who are connected and those who are disconnected. Being connected means the fruits we talked about are going to be developing. And there might be areas of your life that God is pruning to make you be more effective. I brought the vacuum cleaner up here this morning. I'm going to use it. It doesn't seem to be doing anything. Why isn't it doing anything? But I have the vacuum cleaner and I'm using it. I can make the noise. It looks like a really nice vacuum cleaner, doesn't it? It's making the noise. What's the problem? It's not connected. Guess what? There's a lot of people out there who look really good, who know the lingo, who can make the noise. But what's the problem? They're not connected. And so all of these things are not going to be evidence in their life because they are not connected to Christ. They're not connected to the power source. So we have to ask ourselves these questions. Are there evidences as part of my life that show that I'm connected to Christ? And if there aren't, am I really connected to Christ? Do I see evidence in my life? Is there fruit? Are there times when God is working in my life and pruning me? Do I find that he is making me more pure, making me holy to be like him? I'm about halfway through. It's 11:30. We'll stop there. I'll pick up the next week. If you can keep your handouts, then you can bring those back. Do I abide in Christ? Is he the source? Is he my focus? Are there evidences? Let's go back a couple. Are these evidences? Are there fruit? And we talked about the different types of fruit. Do you have those in your life? The pruning. Are there times when you can see God working things in your life, taking out the bad things so that you can produce better fruit? Do you feel you're becoming more like Christ, more pure, more righteous? The Hebrews passage we looked at, God disciplines us so that we can become more righteous and we can have the fruit of righteousness. Are you abiding in Christ and in his word and in his love? Do you find joy when you're abiding in Christ and in his love? If those aren't part of your life, am I really connected to Christ, or am I just this? It's a hard question, but you have to ask it of yourself. Do I see evidence in my own life that I am connected to God, that I'm connected through the true vine? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, I pray that if there's anyone in here that through your Holy Spirit's work begins to question if they are a believer because they don't see these fruits in their lives, Father, I pray that they would make that decision today. That they would make the decision to abide in you. Make the decision to be connected to you. Because it's only through you that we find true life. Because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can have a relationship. The way we were designed back in Genesis 1 and 2, we were designed to have a relationship with you. And no one can have that relationship apart from your Son and what he came and did for us to take our sin upon himself so that through our belief in him we could have everlasting life and be with you for eternity, Father, that we could abide in you, follow your design for our lives, follow your path for our lives. God, I pray you help us to listen to your voice, that we would seek to know you through your word, that your words would abide in us, so that when we hear things from the world that we can discern easily and know that's not of Jesus or that is of Jesus, because we abide in you and you abide in us. Father, help us to grow. Each of us are at our own path in this journey, and each of us are at our own place. And Father, help us to grow. Help us to move forward so that we can become more like you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.